I didn't realize the Vive is due out so soon. I have one of those on order, too. I will have, by the end of this, two Oculus Rifts and a Vive. And I guess I'll have to buy a PlayStation 4 and get one of them, too. This is
and a HoloLens.
And a HoloLens, $3,000. Those came out this week as well. Clearly, and that's AR, but I think AR and VR are kind of hand in hand, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Is this a gimmick, or is this really going to make a difference?
Well, as I was telling you, Leo, I had a lot of fun. I didn't go out and spend even $1,600, which is kind of the minimum you need to spend for a PC and an Oculus Rift. But I went over to Facebook the other day, and I spent some time playing with it. And as I mentioned earlier, I've been playing a lot with this much less expensive VR gear. And I enjoyed it. But as somebody who's not a heavy-duty gamer, it is not something that I would be willing at this point to invest a lot of money and time into. It's more like an experience. I mean, I almost wish there was an arcade you could go to and pay a couple of bucks every once in a while to play with it. Maybe you can set that up as a business in your new facility. Because I just think that the average person is not going to get a lot of value out of it immediately. I think schools eventually can make incredible use of it. I can see lots of training, education, again, arcade kind of styles. But in terms of something that people want to have in their home, not at that price point, not quite yet.
It is very expensive. I mean, although here's a data point you might want to keep in the back of your mind. Ryan Shrout, who helped us build this kind of ultimate virtual reality gaming machine from PC Perspective in our This Week at Computer Hardware show, has built a kind of minimal machine that fits the minimal requirements of the Oculus Rift, as well as a fancy machine like this. He says that the experience is indistinguishable. And he says that's probably because developers, at least early on, are not writing for the high-end hardware. They're writing for the guaranteed minimum. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, John Slanina, our studio manager, is playing with it right now. It's been pretty much constant use since we unboxed and set it up earlier this week. It's fun. But you're right. It's expensive fun. I paid a lot of money for that privilege.
It's also, I think, still it's cumbersome. It has, to me, I have played with some of these, and it strikes me as the as being like the 3D glasses for home television. You know, I don't think the average person wants a face hugger on their head. And I think that until it is lighter and smaller, and maybe done in such a way that you don't actually need the the box on your face, I don't think that the average person is going to be very interested in this.
Yeah.
Even for entertainment, a lot of people who are using it say that, you know, this would be a breakthrough for motion pictures as well as for games, and I'm not sure I see that.
And also,
it's also a very isolating experience, which is a different thing. You know, I love lying down on the couch and watching a movie with my wife, or we play co-op video games together, that kind of thing. You can't really do that in VR, at least not yet. You know, there will be co-op multiplayer games for sure, but even if you're sitting in the room with someone playing VR,
you're isolated, right?
You're on your own, right. Yeah. And so that, I think, is going to be a big hurdle as we're moving beyond these initial gaming experiences. But definitely, I also agree that education is a big thing. I mean, getting kids out in the country to a major zoo somewhere is a difficult thing. You can plop them down in the middle of the Serengeti if you want to through an Oculus headset. But again, for those experiences, I don't think you necessarily need a $600 Oculus Rift. A Gear VR would be more than adequate to do that kind of experience. And I'm actually really encouraged to see what kind of educational experiences come out of these VR systems, especially the ones that cost, $100, $200.
Well, the other thing nice about the Gear VR and also, of course, the Google is it self-contained. I mean, you need the phone, but you're not tethered.
Right.
And part of the problem is you've got to be tethered to a PC with the Oculus Rift. But I think that we're going to see some standalone VR headsets in the $200 to $300 range that are going to make a lot more sense for your average consumer than a $600 goggles along with a $1,000 or more computer. But again, we're early in this, so it's great that they're able to make these investments and see what happens.
Yeah.
Well, we were early in this in the 90s when it first appeared and then vanished. Right. And yeah. And there's a reason
why
that
happened. First iteration, is it?
Right.
And I actually used to work at a VR arcade back in the mid-90s. That was one of my first jobs. So, you know, you mentioned charging a couple bucks for it. That's exactly what I was doing back in the 90s, and that went bust. So,
my first experience was at Epcot Center in 1994, I got to play with, I got a magic carpet ride, and I was blown away.
Oh, yeah. And, I remember that.
And it, you know, and actually, my favorite experience so far on the Oculus Rift, I don't know if you've done it, Leo, is the Eagle Flight, where you fly over Paris and you fly under the bridge. And
no, I don't even know if we have that one.
Great. As a former pilot, I mean, it gave me a lot of the same thrill I used to have when I used to fly real airplanes without the cost and danger. So, I think that's an amazing experience. The other thing that was really fun is one thing they do with the Rift that you can't do with these portable ones, including the VR, is that it has a way of sensing your body position, not just your head position. So when the dinosaur walked up to me in one of the games I was playing, I was able to get under it and look at the dinosaur from the bottom, the top,
that's kind of cool.
Sides.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I actually literally felt like I'm touching it. And I don't know, if you had the experience of also – there you go. There's the Eagle Flight. Have you had the experience of standing on top of a tall building and actually being afraid?
That one I did, forward? And you can walk right up to the edge and look down, and it's a little bit vertiginous.
I could not bring myself to actually step over the edge because viscerally, even though I knew I was in a room, viscerally I felt like I was on the edge of a building. You know
what would have happened if you did?
Nothing. Of course, I was. I knew that intellectually.
No, but what would you see? What's the experience they give you when you do that?
I didn't have.
Well, here you got to look at this. This is a Japanese VR game called Walk the Plank and Save the Kitten. so the idea is, and this is going to be in arcades. The idea is you're wearing a Vive and headphones. You've got the touch controllers. And you see, these people are actually in a room on a plank. There's no risk to them whatsoever, but they're terrified because what they're seeing is a kitten. let me back up a little bit. A kitten on a plank projected over, you know, like a very deep, you know, you're a skyscraper. And so the experience is vivid for them of they are in a risky position. And even though intellectually you know that you're safe.
That looks amazing.
Doesn't that look like a fun game? Yeah. It looks terrifying to me. I don't know if I want to play it or not.
Let that kitten go. It's not worth it.
Go ahead, kitty. Enjoy. The kitten's going to come back.
Just kidding. No real kittens have been harmed by this.
The kitten is going to come back. I don't think the kitten's as dumb as humans.
Yeah. Right.
No, you don't want. So, John, do you feel? Now, you were just playing the Lucky's tale. It's kind of – it's immersive enough that you feel like you're in the event, right, in the game.
It was weird. It was very weird.
Yeah. I love it. I feel like this – I'm – at least for gaming, that this is a breakthrough product.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
And it is too expensive. But in some ways, I regret that they're – now Chris, our intern, is playing with it. I regret in some ways that people have experienced cardboard and Gear VR, which is not as rich as an experience, to be honest with you.
Right.
One thing that you don't – will crack things open quite a bit because, you know, the cost of entry is a lot lower there, and the developer support is bound to be huge once those things get out there. And also, the Move controllers are quite inexpensive.
Right.
You know, Oculus doesn't even have their motion-detecting controllers in the market at all.
And you need that. I think you really do.
For a long time.
You
so,
want to reach out.
It definitely changes the game. Yeah. I played the London Heist game, which is one of the demos that they have for PlayStation VR, and you actually, you know, you had to crack a safe and open drawers and pick up a gun, and it's a really different feeling to actually, you know, hold your hand out in front of you and aim down the sights as you're shooting someone. That's a very different experience than just hitting the A button on an Xbox.
But did any of you try one of these out? This is the Google hardware, but the New York Times included it in the Sunday subscription. And I was actually disappointed when I was watching a New York Times video of an airdrop in, I think, the Sudan. And I was watching this video, or I was watching the immersed in the VR, and I saw the package drop, but I forgot to look up. I didn't know to look up at where the drop was. And I was thinking about this, as if I were watching this as a movie, the director would have seen to it, a traditional movie, right? The director would have seen to it that all the important information was in my field of view. But because this was virtual reality, I was in control of essentially where the camera was pointing, and I missed a very important aspect of it. And I think that if you're going to use VR for storytelling, you have to really think about how do you prompt the user to look in the right direction.
Right. I think that's something that, that these directors will learn to do as this VR kind of goes forward. We've heard about Spielberg being really excited about VR and looking into it. And we've done some experiments in VR. We shot a couple of car reviews in 360 video when we did a floor tour at the Geneva Motor Show in 360 video. And you really had to think about how exactly you're framing it. We've got a lot to learn, too, from our end. I can only imagine what a Hollywood producer has to learn. But, you know, video game designers and developers, for example, have learned to put bright colored objects in the path that you need to follow so that it kind of catches your eye as you move forward. You can imagine Hollywood designers doing the same sort of thing and having, you know, little keys and little indicators that are subtle, but enough to get you to know, you know, it could be an audio cue or something that you need to look left, you need to look right. And certainly, hopefully, you don't ever have to turn around your seat because that could get pretty uncomfortable.
And of course, Microsoft's HoloLens became a reality this week. People who spent $3,000 for the developer edition will start getting their HoloLenses soon. And AR is different from VR, but it also similar. And I think part of the, I mean, of course, if you covered your eyes with an augmented reality headset, it'd be just like VR. I feel like both of these are very important technologies. These are new platforms, aren't they? I mean, that's you know, we just showed you it was $2,500 for the first Macintosh. You know, it was, of course, these are expensive initially. I agree with you. PlayStation 4 is going to be the breakthrough product, probably.
Yeah, I think so. HoloLens is hugely exciting from a future perspective. I hope it doesn't take 30 years for that to get as affordable as a, you know, a modern PC is now compared to an original Apple II or Macintosh. But yeah, HoloLens right now has a lot of issues where it's not really ready for consumer adoption, I don't think. But you know, I can't think of anybody who wouldn't be excited with the prospect of being able to put on a pair of glasses that look a little bit less silly than that, and you know, having a fully immersive experience projected onto your eyeballs, effectively, you know, over top of the world around you. That also would help with the idea of this being an isolating experience. You know, if you can see through this thing, you could be experiencing some sort of virtual reality experience.
There are also some interesting commercial applications. Like, for example, you know, you look through the IKEA catalog and you see a couch. Well, okay, great. We know what it looks like in a showroom. What would this couch look like in my living room? And you could actually do that. You could sit in your living room wearing your AR glasses and see that couch superimposed in your home. And there's some huge medical and educational industrial uses. I think from a practical standpoint, AR is way, way ahead of VR. From an entertainment and gaming perspective, VR is obviously more fun, I think. But I think there's a lot that we're gonna benefit from augmented reality.
Well, and I think gaming, I'm actually more excited about gaming with the HoloLens because I would rather interact with the real world around me and then have that augmented for a game. I mean, to me, that's like that is where you'll get some real imagination coming in. I think you'll see games that you haven't even thought of before and have not seen anything like in traditional gaming or in VR.
You know, it's funny. What do they call those arcades where you walk around with guns and they're dark rooms? What am I? I'm blanking
laser,
the name.
Laser tag.
Okay. Yeah. Imagine playing laser tag with augmented reality with real people. That'd be amazing.
Right. Yeah. There's actually a concept video of someone who wants to create a laser tag like experience in a warehouse, but with VR glasses. So you'd walk up to a wall and you'd feel a wall, but it would actually be, you'd see, you know, this crazy tunnel inside of a spaceship or something like that. And so, you know, mixing an actual experience together with a virtual reality experience to create this sort of, here it is, very well done, to create this amazing sort of combined experience where you're actually walking through a very simple experience, but you're seeing something amazing. And that is, I think, a very exciting next generation arcade sort of thing. I would pay a good amount of money to go run around and shoot my friends and that kind of thing.
In a week, you'll be able to go to a movie theater and watch a movie called Hardcore Henry. You guys familiar with that?
Yeah.
This is interesting because I feel like this is the creators getting ready for this new virtual reality future. The idea is it's an action thriller, but it's shot in the first person. You are Henry. Mm. And I don't know what this is going to be like in a movie theater, but everything that in the movie is first person.
It looks absolutely awesome, potentially a little bit nauseating, but I think they've already said that the sequel, which they have to make because there's so much buzz about this already, that the sequel will be in VR, which is awesome and exciting. But yeah, I mean, the tricks that they had to pull off to make this movie work.
This is a VR movie without a helmet. they say.
The question is, are you willing to wear a helmet for 2 hours to watch
yes.
a movie? Are you?
That's I've worn. So let me tell you, when you play one of these games, it's so immersive. You may. I could see you spending all day in these. In the, it's not the Oculus is not uncomfortable, and with a good. By the way, they've really improved the audio, so the sound is excellent.
And that you don't get that with this. The sound is horrible. Yeah. It's great.
So I really feel like 2 hours is not going to be that much to ask for. You're going to forget you're in this thing. That's what happens to me with the Oculus Rift. You very quickly become acclimated to the idea that you're in this thing, and it's it becomes scarily real.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Like I said, back in the 90s when I worked at that VR arcade machine, I thought that was the future. You know, I couldn't wait until
Why
we
did
were
it take off
home.
Then?
There just wasn't the technology at the time. The latency was really low. You know, those virtuality machines that they had in arcades cost $20,000 to $30,000. They were running like 16 networked 486s together to give you the kind of graphics power that you needed back then. There were VR headsets that were at home that weren't, you know, all that much more expensive than an Oculus is today, but you know, there were VGA at best, and it was just a really poor experience. And then
awful.
I think everyone, when that failed, everyone wrote off VR altogether. And it was really thanks to Palmer Luckey, the individual who was, you know, a VR nerd who had, you know, all these VR headsets, who realized I can take a tablet display, put it into a cheap headset with some duct tape and take some ski goggles and kind of glue it all together and make this thing. And that's ultimately what became Oculus. And it's really thanks to him going back to what was this simple idea from the mid-90s and bringing it back again that everyone had written off. And now it's because of that that we have the Oculus Rift, the Vive, and the PlayStation VR and everything else, because everybody had written that technology off.